4.
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Superman. Yes, it's Superman. Strange visitor from another planet who came to Earth with powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal men. Superman, who can change the course of mighty rivers, bend steel in his bare hands, and who, disguised as Clark Kent, mild-mannered reporter for a great metropolitan newspaper, fights a never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the American way. And now, another exciting episode in the Adventures of Superman.
Today, Clark Kent, merrily humming a familiar tune, walks through the Daily Planet City Room to editor Perry White's office.
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I've got a wonderful feeling. Everything's...
Unaware that the one man in the world who can identify Clark as Superman is waiting inside Perry White's office.
Everything's going my way. Hi there, Jimmy.
Hi, Mr. Kent. How do you like the new computers we had just installed in the newsroom?
Oh, they're swell, Jimmy. Swell. Hey there, Miss Williams.
Hello there, Clark.
Well, here we are. I wonder what the chief was so anxious to see me about.
Stopping before Perry... Stopping before Perry White's door, Kent reaches for the doorknob. In a moment, in a matter of seconds, his great secret may be revealed, the zealously guarded secret of his double identity. Convinced that Clark Kent, his mild-mannered reporter, is really Superman in disguise, editor Perry White, assisted by reporter Lois Lane, perfected an elaborate scheme to prove it. By a clever ruse, White instigated a flight by Kent as Superman to an ocean liner at sea, which was supposedly in great danger. There, the captain was alerted to report the Man of Steel's arrival, which would prove he was Kent. But Superman chose to make his brief appearance on the ship in street clothes and was mistaken for a passenger. For the moment, White was stymied. However, the engineer of the ship had seen and spoken to Kent, who had said his name was Mr. Clark. And at this very moment, the engineer is in Perry White's office at the Daily Planet, waiting to identify Kent as the mysterious Mr. Clark. And Kent is about to walk into the trap. Summoned by White, he has just walked through the city room to his editor's office. But as he starts to open the door, a strange, yet somehow familiar voice in the office reaches his super ears.
I'll never forget the face, Miss Lynn. If this fellow really is Superman, then...
Quiet, Mr. McCoss. He'll be here any second.
Startled, his hand still on the door, Kent probes the thick panels with his X-ray vision and then gasps.
What? It's the engineer of the Atlantic Queen? If he sees me, I'm a dead duck. I've got to get out of here, and fast.
Aha! Gotcha, Clark! Or should I say, Superman! Where did he go? I know he was there. Look, Lois! Kent disappeared!
Well, that's funny, Chief. He couldn't have been there. You must have been wrong that he was at the door when you grabbed it and opened it.
I'll say, it's funny. Jimmy! Jimmy Olsen!
Come in, Chief. I mean, Mr. White.
Now listen, Jimmy. Did you?
How do you like the way Miss Lane and I fix up the staff dining room?
Oh, it's fine, Jimmy, but what about... Never mind the dining room. Did you see Clark Kent?
Mr. Kent? Sure. He was here just a moment ago.
He was?
Well, where is he?
He went out.
What do you mean he went out?
Where did he go?
I don't know. He wasn't feeling all so good all of a sudden. He looked a little green around the gills.
What? That doesn't sound like Clark. Are you sure? Did you take a photo of him?
No, I didn't. Listen, do you think we ought to put more lights in the dining room?
Will you forget about the dining room for a moment? What do you mean Kent wasn't feeling good all of a sudden?
He was okay when he came in the city room. He was humming and saying hello to everyone. All smiley and all.
Yes, yes. What else, Jimmy?
Yes? Come on, Jimmy. You really do need to improve your storytelling skills.
But just before he got to your office, Chief, he stopped, and then he came hurrying back, almost running. He started to take off his glasses, then.
Oh, he did. What did he do then, Jimmy?
Oh, his glasses, huh? Hmm.
I wanted him to help me with the curtains in the dining room. He said he wasn't feeling well. He was awful pale, all sweaty.
I know why he wasn't feeling well. He saw Makosh in my office. He knew, I tell you. Clark knew.
Huh? I don't get it, Chief. Mr. White. What did Clark know?
Now wait, Chief. You can't really believe that.
What a chump I was. I forgot about his X-ray vision.
X-ray what? What do you mean, Mr. White?
Oh, never mind, Jimmy. Never mind. You get back to your dining room decorations. You wouldn't understand anyway.
Actually, Mr. White, I think I do understand about his X-ray vision.
You do? Why don't you tell me all about it, Jimmy?
It goes like this, Mr. White. Superman has the ability to see through solid objects, usually with the exception of lead. Explanations for how this power works vary, but they rarely include the emission and perception of actual X-rays, as such high-energy radiation would actually be dangerous to living things he uses it on. A more common theory involves being able to see and concentrate on the patterns of natural cosmic radiation as it reverberates off objects.
Jimmy, I am truly impressed. But how do you know about such things?
Yeah, Jimmy. How did you get so smart?
I'm not exactly sure, other than it seemed quite logical to me.
Next thing you know, you'll be talking about
his heat ray vision ability, of course. That's the ability to emit heat energy from his eyes. Usually resembles bright red or orange laser-like beams, which may be invisible at low temperatures, but extremely bright at high ones. It has also been depicted as a focus variation of his X-ray vision, but is usually a distinct power involving converting solar energy directly into heat. Superman has been shown to be able to use heat vision with surgical precision at microscopic levels.
Jimmy, you really are freaking me out.
It's okay, Lois. I'm perfectly fine. I wonder how blue would look as the color of paint in the dining room.
I guess Jimmy is back to being Jimmy.
No, don't be so sure of that, Mr. White.
Now listen, Lois. We've got to find Kent.
Oh, fat chance. I never have been able to find Clark when I need him.
We'll find him. We've got to. You get Makosh and...
Chief, use your head. If Clark is Superman and saw Makosh in your office, he realized what was up. Why, he's probably in China or on some faraway planet by now.
No, he isn't. That would be a giveaway.
What do you mean?
He can't leave town. He'd know that we know that he's afraid to face Makosh, which is practically admitting he's Superman.
Oh, I see what you mean.
He'll be around, waiting for Makosh to leave. Now you tell Jim to stay here in case Kent calls.
Okay, Chief.
You get Makosh and meet me downstairs.
Right.
I'll get my car. We're going out to find Mr. Kent.
As White and Lois begin their pursuit of Clark Kent, the reporter has arrived at a handsome mansion facing the park where the famous Batman and his young companion Robin live between adventures as Bruce Wayne and Dick Grayson. Wayne, otherwise known as Batman, is the one person to whom Superman has confessed his double identity.
This is the worst jam I've ever been in, Bruce. I don't know what to do.
Now, take it easy, Clark. May not be as bad as you think.
What? Are you kidding? If I'm exposed to Superman, my value to humanity will be cut in half. The underworld will be able to keep tabs on me, trick me, perhaps even find a way of taking my life.
I know. Robin and I are up against the same danger.
And yet you tell me I'm not in the spot? You must think I'm some sort of idiot.
I said it may not be as bad as you think. And Clark, you're quite the smart one.
Just in case you might be a little confused, this is an episode of Superman. Our Batman episode will follow shortly after the end of Superman. Batman and Superman actually had a number of joint missions. This doesn't really count as one of them. Just who is Batman? Let me tell you. In his secret identity, Batman is Bruce Wayne, a wealthy businessman who lives in Gotham City. To the world at large, Bruce Wayne is often seen as an irresponsible, superficial playboy who lives off his family's personal fortune, amassed when his family invested in Gotham real estate before the city was a bustling metropolis. The profits of Wayne Enterprises, a major private technology firm that he inherited, are the sources of his wealth and power. Let's get back to the conversation between Clark and Bruce.
Yeah, I'm still worried about all this, Bruce.
You may only imagine that Perry White and the others suspect who you are.
I tell you, I know they do, Bruce. At first, I was only suspicious. I thought I might be wrong, but now I'm sure, absolutely sure.
Well, why? What happened?
Well, yesterday morning, White showed me a sealed envelope addressed to Superman.
To Superman? Actually made out to Superman?
Yes, well, we sometimes get them at the planet.
Oh, but why is this time any different?
Well, White asked me if I had any idea how to contact Superman. Well, I stalled, of course, but meanwhile, I read the letter inside the envelope with my X-ray vision.
Yes, and why is that so important?
Well, I'm certain now that he intended for me to do that, and that he even wrote the letter.
What did the letter say?
That a time bomb had been planted in the engine room of the Atlantic Queen, which was on the sea route to Metropolis.
Uh-oh.
Well, naturally, I ducked away from White and hopped out of the Atlantic Princess as Superman.
Well, naturally. What else do you expect Superman to do, right?
At the last moment, though, I had a little suspicious of that letter.
Why?
Well, I don't know. It just didn't quite ring true. So I decided to appear on the ship in my street clothes. You know, as if I were one of the passengers.
Well, that was cagey. What then?
I went down to the engine room and dug the bomb out from behind the boiler. It was a phony. It wasn't even ticking.
A phony?
Sure. As phony as a $3 bill.
So, White figured you'd read the letter, hop up to the ship as Superman, and then he'd have you cold.
Sure. That's exactly what he thought.
But you fooled him. You didn't appear on the ship as Superman. Oh, but wait a minute. You didn't run into anyone who knew you there, did you?
No, but I did run into the chief engineer.
Well, so what?
So, at this moment, he's sitting in Perry White's office at the Daily Planet. Right in Perry's office.
What?
Uh-huh. Dollars to donuts. White got him there to identify me as the guy who showed up in the Atlantic Queen's engine room yesterday and removed the bomb.
Holy smokes! This is bad, Clark. Very bad.
Oh, it couldn't be any worse. I was thinking about putting a lot of mileage between me and Metropolis until Mr. Engineer goes back to the sea.
No, you can't do that. If you run away, you'll probably be admitting that you are Superman.
That's why I didn't run. But what should I do now, Bruce? Perry White smells a terrific story, and he won't let go until he gets it. Or should I say, until he gets me.
I know. The only thing to do is make him think he's wrong.
Oh, wonderful. How are we going to do it?
You've got to face that engineer. You've got to make him say you're not the man.
But I am the man. So how in heaven's name
am I... Let me think. There must be a way.
Oh, I can't think of any. I told Jimmy I was sick just now, but when I ran out of the city room and just can't keep that Dodge up long enough. Jimmy may not be very bright, but he'll figure it out pretty quickly.
That's it, Clark.
That's what?
I've got it. Now, how quickly can you get us back to your apartment?
Well, in a few seconds as Superman, but why?
Strip down to your costume, chum, and don't waste any time asking questions. Come on, hurry.
What is Bruce Wayne's plan to help Clark? We'll be back in a moment to find out. Let's listen now to this Kellogg's cereal commercial starring George Reed and the man who played Perry White.
Hey, let's take a minute and meet Clark Kent, the star of Superman.
Chief, believe me, you're in for a treat just as soon as Jimmy gets back here.
Great Caesar's ghost. What's holding him up? You know I can't work without a good breakfast.
Chief, Jimmy's bringing a box of Kellogg's sugar smacks.
All the more reason for hurrying. Confound it, that boy knows I like those new sugar smacks.
And he knows I do, too. And that's a cinch.
Well, here I am. Young man, if you spill those new sugar smacks, you're fired.
Golly, Chief, I hadn't opened up the box yet. But I'm going to now.
Well, I guess we all agree on sugar smacks.
Right.
Folks, don't wait. Get Kellogg's new sugar smacks. They're better than ever. Puffs of wheat, sugar toasted. And candy sweet.
And now, back to the adventures of Superman. In Clark Kent's apartment, Bruce Wayne, who is really Batman, is skillfully applying the contents of a theatrical makeup box to Kent's face.
There. You're as pale as a ghost, Clark. Now I'll just change the shape of your nose a little with this putty.
Hey, careful. Don't push so hard on my nose. What do you think I am, a clown?
Then I'll color it bright red.
No, it won't work, Bruce. That red nose, the pale face, all that makes me look like some sort of circus freak.
You'd be surprised how different you look already.
Hey, look out, my nose. Don't squeeze so hard.
I've had a lot of practice with this makeup.
Yeah, but if you change me too much, Perry White will catch on. The chief is no dope, you know.
I'm not changing you too much. I'm just making you look like a guy with a terrific cold. Oh, by the way, can you make your voice good and hoarse?
Huh? Oh, you mean like this? Good afternoon, chief. I'm a little under the weather. How was that?
Not so good.
How's this? Good afternoon, chief.
Well, a little better. Remember to cough a lot when you speak. Mm-hmm. That'll help.
Okay. Oh, brother. I still think it's going to be safer for me to go to China or someplace.
You can't, Clark.
Oh, I'm afraid of this gag.
Oh, stop worrying. It's your only chance. Anyway, there. Your nose is done.
Yeah, feels awful. Really bad.
Oh, now let's see.
Well?
You still look too much like Kent.
Oh, that's that.
No. Wait, I've got an idea. Take off those horn-rimmed glasses.
Oh, no. I take them off when I'm Superman. If I take them off now, I will give myself away.
Not with your eyes all bleary and running with tears.
What do you mean?
Go on, take those cheaters off while I find the eau d'oignon.
The what?
Well, concentrated essence of that handy little vegetable known as the onion.
Ah, here it is. Oh, but Bruce, I don't know if I'm subject to onion fumes. I am Superman, you know.
Oh, I never thought of that. Well, We'll soon find out. I'll open this bottle and...
Oh, no. Who is it? It's Perry White and the engineer of the Atlantic Queen. Lois is there, too.
Don't answer it. We're not ready for them yet.
Open the door, Kent. This is Perry White. I know you're in there.
He says he knows I'm here.
Clark Kent, we know you're in there. You get your briny bag of bones out here right now.
This is it, then. Hop into your bedroom and pile into bed, Clark. Here, sprinkle this onion essence all over your pillow and pray that it works on you.
But, Bruce, I...
Let me in! The superintendent said you're home!
Oh, I'm really in hot water now. Gee whiz.
Coming! Get going, Clark, and remember, speak hoarsely, like a frog.
All right. I'll try, Bruce. But something tells me my number's up. This froggy voice is not going to fool Lois. She's way too smart for such a ruse.
Maybe not. Just remember to talk hoarsely. Really hoarsely.
Okay.
Kent! I'll call the super!
Coming, I said. Oh, boy, if only this works. Come in, gentlemen. Come in.
Taking a deep breath, Bruce Wayne opens the door and Perry White walks in, followed by Augustus McCosh, the engineer of the Atlantic Queen, and then by Lois Lane, who is looking around the apartment. And then, before Wayne can say a word, White heads for Kent's bedroom, motioning for the engineer and Lois to follow.
Bruce Wayne, what are you doing here? Where's Clark? I don't care. Where's Clark?
In bed.
Clark, make sure you're decent. We're coming in. Oh, there you are. Okay, Mr. McCosh. I'll let you decide if this man is the Mr. Clark.
Hello, Chief. Hello, Lois.
Just before Mr. McCosh gets the chance to decide if Clark is the Mr. Clark he saw on the board ship, Bruce Wayne, in his Batman mode, sends a high-pitched sound that only certain breeds of dogs, like border collies and Australian shepherds, can hear. This high pitch actually clouds the minds of all human beings, which means, of course, it does not affect Superman, the man from Krypton. So even though Perry White, Lois, and McCosh can't hear the sound, it does cloud their minds. And here's what happens.
So, tell me, McCosh, is he the man you saw on board the Atlantic Queen?
I don't know, sir. Have him speak to me again.
Clark, talk to the man.
Of course, Lois. Mr. McCosh, I have never been on board the Atlantic Queen. Never.
Clark, stand up so McCosh can get a good look at you.
Chief, all's I have on are pajamas.
Oh, for Pete's sake, Clark. We've seen pajamas before. Just get out of bed.
Sure thing, Chief.
Well, Mr. McCosh, is he the man you saw?
No, he's not the man I saw on board. I'm sure of it.
Chief?
Well, I guess that's that, Lois. We'd better go. Clark, you look terrible.
I guess so. And I was 100% sure.
I know. So was I.
Sure about what?
Nothing, Clark. Nothing at all.
Goodbye, Clark. I will see you in the office on Monday if you feel better.
Okay, Lois. That's fine.
Chief, do you hear that high-pitched sound?
No, I don't. Lois, let's go.
Goodbye, Lois. Goodbye, Chief.
Well, Clark, we did it. It worked. The high pitch I was able to send out using my remote bat phone from my Batmobile really worked.
Now, why didn't you tell me about that, Bruce?
Well, just in case it didn't work, I still wanted you to fake that bad cold.
Well, thanks, Bruce.
This has been The Adventures of Superman here on the WGTD Radio Theater. As they always used to say at the end of each episode, boys and girls, be sure to follow The Adventures of Superman, brought to you every Monday through Friday, same time, same station, by the makers of that super delicious cereal, Kellogg's Pep. Superman is a copyrighted feature appearing in Superman DC Publications. Stately Wayne Manor, Bruce Wayne and his ward, Dick Grayson, are spending time in the study.
Holy Noah's Ark, Bruce. When is this rain going to stop?
Now, Dick. Mother Nature knows what is needed, when it is needed, always in balance. It's not your hours to question or wonder, but to accept her wisdom. Isn't that right, Aunt Harriet?
Yes, I suppose. But, Bruce, these storms have gone on for 10 days straight.
And there's flooding all over Gotham City.
But our fine city servants are out there making sure the good people of Gotham City are safe and dry, so there's nothing to fear.
I just hope you're right, Bruce.
And in an old abandoned lighthouse in Gotham City Harbor.
And it is day 10 of this downpour. Flood alerts are in effect all over Gotham City. Those people living in floodplain areas should seek high ground immediately or evacuate to a flood victim shelter.
Listen to that lovely rain!
Yes, well, I don't like all this precipitation. You know how I hate to get wet.
Quack, quack, quack! And I can't wait for winter when it freezes.
What is a bird when it's not flying?
Huh?
Rounded, just like Batman. With all the roads being closed, he won't be able to get around Gotham City and get in our way.
Are the special boats ready?
Oh, yes! They're ready to go through the streets of Gotham City to all the banks as soon as the water levels rise a little more.
Oh, the jewelry stores, too? I need some new diamond collars to go around my purty neck.
Oh, yes! We'll hit them all!
And Batman will be stuck with his Batmobile that can't go anywhere.
Well, what about the bat boat?
That's covered too. It's made for large bodies of water, like Gotham Harbor, though not the back streets and alleys of Gotham City like our boat.
With the four of us on us as a team, there's no stopping us.
How is our special weather satellite working? Is it still holding up okay?
Let me check my iPhone satellite control app. And Batman thinks he has such great toys.
Well, just be careful not to block the antenna again. We almost had a heat wave for a while.
Oh, Catwoman, let it go already. I put that bumper case on and we were back in business. Now hold on and let me check. Oh, it's working better than ever. The program virus we uploaded into that weather satellite can't be stopped. And when we're done with Gotham City, we will point the satellite at cities around the world!
Back at Stately Wayne Manor.
That was quite a nice lunch, wasn't it, gentlemen?
Very nice. I do think we have one of the best chefs in all of Gotham City.
Where's Alfred? Oh, there you are. Could you have the chauffeur bring the car round for me? I have to get to my afternoon bridge game at Muffy's.
Oh, I'm sorry, ma'am, but the road has been washed out and you won't be able to leave.
Well, this rain has been just awful. Bruce, have you seen the news? People are losing their homes. No one can get to downtown Gotham City. All those buildings and stores are just standing empty.
Yes, yes, it has been such a tragedy, and this rain does seem to be abnormal. It's never rained like this now for 12 days, to the point where no one in the city can go anywhere.
Well, I suppose I can play Internet Bridge instead. If you'll excuse me, gentlemen.
Of course, Aunt Harriet.
Just be careful with those online games, Aunt Harriet. They have been known to be less than scrupulous.
Oh, Bruce, I appreciate your concern, but I'll be fine.
Sir, I apologize for taking so long to get to this, but you have a phone call in the study.
Oh, no problem, Alfred. Aunt Harriet does pose a challenge these days with her stuck here in the house. Dick, could you join me in the study? Commissioner, how may I be of service?
Batman, thank goodness I could get a hold of you. Telephone service has been spotty due to all these storms.
Don't worry about that, Commissioner. Our line will stay operational no matter what Mother Nature has in store.
Well, I wish I could report to you that Mother Nature has been responsible for this unusual weather, but I'm afraid not, Batman.
Oh? Please tell me more, Commissioner.
We've just received an email, Batman. Although we tried to trace it, we've been unsuccessful. We've turned it over to Homeland Security, but even they haven't had any luck so far.
Interesting, Commissioner. Go on, please.
The email is addressed to me and says, "What hates water but likes ice? Likes to laugh but loves to challenge. When you know the answer, go the place where the four stars pierce the night. There you will find the source of your gush." What can it mean, Batman?
Well, it's quite simple, Commissioner. What hates water? A cat. What likes ice? A penguin. What likes to laugh? A joker. And what loves a challenge? A riddler. Commissioner, it would appear that four of the most dastardly criminals of Gotham City are now working together.
This is awful, Batman. But what does the rest of it mean?
For that, Commissioner, we will have to talk in person. We will be at your office momentarily. To the Batpole! Robin, we will not be able to use the Batmobile, and the Batboat will not be easy to use either through the streets of Gotham City.
How about the Bat Jet Skis?
Excellent idea, my young protege. To the Bat Skis!
Oh, praise be to the heavens, it's Batman and Robin.
How on earth did you get here so quickly? And so dry, Batman.
It always pays to be prepared for any situation, Commissioner. But let's focus on the matter at hand. We know that Catwoman, the Penguin, the Joker, and the Riddler have joined forces to unfold some kind of diabolical plot upon the peaceful, law-abiding citizens of Gotham City.
But holy conundrums, Batman. Who could they be up to?
Patience, Robin, patience. Only thoughtful and patient criminological analysis will lead us to the answers we seek. Now, Commissioner, what was the second line of that riddle, please?
When you know the answer, go the place where four stars pierce the night.
Holy puzzles, Batman. What on earth could that mean?
Yeah, Batman. What kind of shenanigans are those four up to?
Gentlemen, it's really quite simple. In fact, you already started to solve this second riddle.
Begorra, Batman. What do you mean?
Four stars references those four shameless characters, although they are far from being stars unless they mean stars of crime and injustice.
Agreed, Batman. But how would they pierce the night?
Now, that one is a little tougher. I do indeed concede. But where in Gotham City is there a place that pierces the night?
Must be some kind of light, right?
Excellent reasoning, Chief.
But that could be a light from anything, right, Batman?
True, Commissioner. But what light is made to pierce the darkness of the night?
Some kind of spotlight?
Again, excellent reasoning, Chief.
But what kind of spotlights are there in Gotham City where someone could hide?
It might not be in Gotham City proper.
Holy waterfronts, Batman. It's the old lighthouse in Gotham City Harbor. That's where that quirky quartet is lurking.
Well done, gentlemen.
But what could they be up to, Batman?
You don't think they're responsible for these storms, do you, Batman?
I'm afraid so, Chief. Somehow they have crafted a way to maneuver the weather patterns over our fair city and turn them into this tumultuous tempest. Robin, To the Batcave. We must study these meteorological data to determine how to stop their influence over fair Mother Nature and put them in the prison where they rightfully belong. Alfred, have you booted up the Bat satellite server uplink?
Yes, sir. I'll boot it up and ready for you. Communications to the Bat satellite have been established.
Thank you, Alfred. Now, Robin, please take charge of the Bat satellite telemetry readout station. I'll handle the Bat satellite maneuvering controls.
Holy long-distance phone call, Batman. Bat satellite link established.
Thank you, Robin. Yes, here it is. Maneuvering thrusters are responding. There. I'm moving the Bat satellite into position next to the Gotham City weather satellite.
Anything I can do to assist, Batman?
Yes, Alfred. Please be ready for the next steps once we determine exactly what that fearsome foursome did to the Gotham satellite.
Telemetry continuing to be received.
Excellent, Robin. And the Bat satellite is now in position for hookup to the weather satellite. Robin, extend the Bat USB hookup arm.
Extending Bat USB hookup arm.
Good, Robin. Bat USB hookup arm is now plugging into the USB port on the Gotham satellite. There. Contact made.
New telemetry being received. Forwarding to you, Batman.
Excellent. Interesting. Very impressive. It's the vindicative virus that those trespassing transgressors have implanted into the satellite's root program. It is quite a shame that the minds of those cowardly criminals have not been focused on the good of society. I know how we can repair the satellite back to its true purpose. I'll write a quick program and upload it for execution at the proper time.
Batman, why are you waiting to execute the fixed program?
I don't want to raise any suspicions among those loathsome lawbreakers until we are ready to capture them and bring them in for justice. There, the program has been uploaded and is waiting for the signal from my Bat Android cell phone on my utility belt. Alfred, please notify the Commissioner and Chief O'Hara that we are now on our way to nab those pending prisoners. They should wait in their police boats on the dock for our signal before they make their way to the old Gotham City Harbor Lighthouse.
Yes, Batman. That would be no problem at all.
Robin, to the Bat jet skis.
Meanwhile, back at the old abandoned Gotham City Lighthouse.
How are the weather reports, Catwoman?
Just perfect, Joker. The waters in Gotham City have risen to record-setting flood levels. No traffic is able to pass through any of the city streets. No one is able to get to work, patrol the area, and all those lovely buildings and jewelry stores are standing there empty.
With all this water, all the alarm systems have shorted out. We'll be able to walk right in and take whatever we want.
And when is a crime fighter not a crime fighter?
Oh, honestly, Riddler, can't you just say something without preceding it with a question?
Because it's what I do. So, when is a crime fighter not a crime fighter?
When it's a drowned bat?
Meanwhile, in an abandoned passageway, in the abandoned lighthouse, overlooking the awful offenders.
Holy crooks, Batman. There they are.
Yes, Robin, indeed. There they are, laughing away at what they think, once again, is their triumph over goodness, wallowing in the suffering that they are creating and causing over the dear people of Gotham City. Just a few minutes more, and we can move in and nab them. First, let me contact Alfred on my Bat Android phone and make sure the Commissioner and Chief O'Hare are in place and ready to move on.
Yes, sir.
Alfred, old chap, are the Commissioner and Chief ready with Gotham's finest to move in and arrest those nefarious ne'er-do-wells?
Oh, quite, Batman. Everyone is in place and just waiting for your signal.
Perfect. Thanks, Alfred.
Oh, Batman. How nice of you to join us.
Yes, Batman! How nice! Did you really think that we wouldn't be prepared for you? All I had to do was download the surveillance app to my iPhone. It really is amazing what you can buy for $4.99, eh? If you don't mind, Batman, if my boys are gonna tie you up,
Batman. Please tell me.
Oh, when is the... not another pernicious riddle.
You know, Catwoman, the sooner he says his riddles, the sooner he gets them done, so just let him go ahead.
Oh, very well. Persist with your pursuit.
When is a barber not a barber?
What's the matter, Batman? Cat got your tongue?
Or perhaps it's a bird.
Yes, Batman. Do I finally have you stumped? Well, I'll tell you. A barber is not a barber when instead of clipping hair, he clips wings.
Yes! Those wings are Baskin Robbins! Take them away, boys!
Not so fast, Joker. Try this joke on for size.
Pow!
Boom! Boom!
Quack! Quack! Quack!
Kapow!
Blam!
Blam! Well, you wouldn't hit a lady, would you, Batman?
No, I wouldn't. But alas, you're nothing more than a feline felon.
Pow! Pow!
Kazam!
Boom. Boom!
Say, Riddler, what is a child before a meal?
Huh? I don't know. What is a child before a meal?
Washed up.
Pow!
Batman, are you okay?
No worse for the wear, Chief. Please take this meddlesome menagerie to the Gotham City prison where they belong.
My pleasure, Batman.
Time to execute the program, Batman?
I would say so, Robin. Let me activate the Bat satellite signal. There we go, Robin. The storm cloud should start to dissipate. Let's get back to the Batcave and monitor the situation.
Batman, how can we ever thank you?
Just knowing that the peaceful citizens of Gotham City can go about living their lawful lives is thanks enough. Now, if you could excuse us, Commissioner, we must be off.
Oh, it's so nice to see the sun again, isn't it, Bruce?
It certainly is, Aunt Harriet, and nice to see that the ground is drying out.
I guess we won't need to have the sprinkler system on for a while.
Aunt Harriet, are you back playing bridge?
Well, remember what you told me about being careful about playing online? Well, Muffy took to it too during the storms, only she wound up on one of those crooked sites. She lost all of her money and she can't play anymore. So now our foursome is broken up.
Oh, well, from what I hear, that's not the only foursome that's broken up.
Before we thank our underwriters, let me tell you who our stars were today. In Superman, starring as Clark Kent and Superman, Tom Powers. Lois Lane, Victoria Dumais. Jimmy Olsen, Andrew Potter. Harry White, Cameron Spencer. Makosh, Ryan Farrell. Bruce Wayne, Gary Stamm. And Miss Williams, Julie Burton. In Batman, starring as Bruce Wayne and Batman, Gary Stamm. Dick Grayson and Robin, Andrew Potter. Alfred and Chief O'Hara, Tom Powers. The Riddler, Ryan Farrell. Aunt Harriet, Julie Burton. The Commissioner, Bill Isley. Radio announcer, Ryan Farrell. Catwoman, Renee Thomas. And the Joker and the Penguin, Cameron Spencer. Our director was Victoria Dumay. Working sound and special effects were Steve Brown, Terry Steele, Barb Tyler, and Bob Newman. Yours truly, Bill Isley, was your narrator and announcer. Finally, both of these really great scripts were written by Steve Brown and Mike Olstrup. As always, support for the WGTD Radio Theater is provided by the Kenosha Law Firm of O'Connor, Dumay, Aaliyah, and McTernan and the Agape Chiropractic Center in Lake Villa, Illinois. The WGTD Radio Theater is an exclusive production of WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva, and Brown Olstrup Productions. For the WGTD Radio Theater and the 91.1 Players, I'm your host, Bill Isley. Be sure to listen to our next show on September 25th. Thanks, everyone, for joining us today.
Missing the cartoons of your youth?
Lift your chest high, perk up your ears, and shout to the world!
Cartoon Carnival is on the air.
With Joe Bez, that's me, presenting my hundreds of hours of rare audio.
The Cartoon Carnival with Joe Bevilacqua and all of his friends can be heard every Saturday night at 8 o'clock on WGTD HD3.
Support for WGTD comes from Kenosha Harbor Market, offering apple cider, artisan soaps and candles, beef and lamb cuts, blackberries, cheese, local and imported, coffee and tea, crusty breads and baked goods, dog treats, fresh farm eggs, and more from some 95 vendors this week. Online with a full list of vendors at KenoshaHarborMarket.com.
Your gateway to public radio is WGTD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva, NPR News and Wisconsin Public Radio.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Pam Coulter. A second Iowa producer is now a focus of the federal investigation into salmonella-contaminated eggs. NPR's Richard Knox reports investigators say it's the same strain that was found at another company.
This new recall involves 170 million eggs shipped to at least 14 states. Together with the earlier recall, that means the total number of contaminated eggs reaches almost a half billion. About 1,300 people are thought to have been infected by eating salmonella-contaminated eggs, but officials predict the numbers will grow in the weeks ahead as cases that occurred in late July and early August get reported. Tens of thousands more people may have gotten infected but didn't seek medical attention or get tested. So far, no deaths have been tied to the foodborne epidemic. The new recall involves a company called Hillendale Farms. It sells eggs under five brand names.